I'm speaking to you today on the subject, One in Christ. One in Christ. Now here's our text. I'm reading from John 17. This is our Lord's prayer, the high priestly prayer, the prayer which our Lord prayed for His people before He went to the cross. John 17. Someone said, when you're reading, studying, or preaching from John 17, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. This is the Son speaking to the Father. Lifted up His eyes and said, Father, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee. And down here in verse 20, the Lord Jesus prayed and said, Neither pray I for these alone, but I pray for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all, these and them, that they all may be one. One. Listen, as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee, that they may be one in Us, that they may be one even as We are one. Our Lord is praying here in John 17 for all of His sheep, all of the elect, all that the Father gave to Him, all for whom He died, all whose sins He bore in His body on the tree. And He says that they all, from righteous Abel to the last one, that they all, Old Testament, New Testament, that they all, Jew, Gentile, bond free, circumcision, uncircumcision, that they all may be one. One as We are one. I in them and Thou in Me, that they may be one as We are. One in Christ. Now people have tried in vain for centuries to bring all religious people and all churches and all professing Christians together. There's been all sorts of what they call ecumenical movements and organizations trying to bring all denominations and all churches together under one umbrella. Now you've heard that, I've heard it, World Council of Churches, World Organization of Churches. They say, listen, all religious people believe in God. All religious people believe in life after death. We're all aspiring for the same place. Let's unite. Let's everybody get together. And we'll win the world to religion. It'll never be done. It'll never be done. It's impossible. It's impossible because religious people are not one. They are not one, and they can never be one because they're divided. They're divided over the essentials. They're divided over the fundamentals of faith. Just because men and women, boys and girls, use the same Bible doesn't mean they agree on what that Bible says. Our Lord said, they call Me Lord with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me. And those people can never get together. Religious people, denominations and cults and sects and organizations can never get together because they're not one. They can't claim to be one or profess to be one because they're not one. They don't agree on the inspiration of the Scriptures. Some believe the Scriptures are the Word of God. Some believe the Scriptures contain the Word of God. Some believe that the Scriptures are not even the Word of God but are the Word of the Apostles. They don't agree on the character of God. Just a few nights ago, I heard an evangelist say on television, Who is God? Well, I'll tell you, he said, God is as big as you let Him be. That's how big God is. Just as big as you want Him to be. Just as big as you let Him be. That's how big God is. Well, that's not the God of the Bible. They don't agree on the fall of man. They don't agree on what sin is. They don't agree on who Jesus Christ is. Some believe He's the Son of God. Some believe He's not the Son of God. Some believe He's virgin born. Some believe He's not virgin born. Some believe He's a prophet like Mohammed or Confucius or Buddha or all the rest of them. Some believe He's a great preacher. Some believe He was a reformer, a martyr, an example. Some believe He's God. They don't agree on the life and death of Christ. They don't even agree on the resurrection. They don't agree on the Holy Spirit or His work. They don't agree on how God saves sinners. Some people say people are saved by work, some by grace, some by making a profession of faith, some by accepting Jesus as their personal Savior, some by various other means. They don't agree on those things. They don't agree on the resurrection. They don't agree on anything that's essential. Religion today will never get together because they're not agreed on the essentials of faith, and they're not one at all. But let me tell you this. What was it our Lord prayed? Listen to His prayer again. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one. Everyone for whom He prayed, everyone for whom He died, everyone who believes on Him through the word, they're one. In other words, what Christ is saying here is all religious people are not one, but all true believers are one. They're one. All true believers are one. They're not divided over the Scriptures. They all believe the Scriptures are the Word of God. They're not divided over the character of God. They know He's almighty, sovereign, eternal, all-wise, holy. They're not divided over the fall. They know man died in trespasses and sin. They're not divided over who Christ is. He's very God of very God and God in human flesh. They're not divided over the need of sinners. They're not divided over how God saves sinners. They know it's by His grace through faith in Christ Jesus. They're not divided over these essentials. They're one. They always have been one. They're one now. They always will be one. That they may be one as We are. I in them and Thou in Me, that they may be one. Our Lord said concerning His sheep in John 10:16, He said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I must. Just like He must needs go through Samaria. Just like He must needs be lifted up. Just like He must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. He must bring His people. And they will hear My voice, He said, and there'll be one fold. And one shepherd. Not divided at all. One. True believers are one. I don't care where you find them. Find them in Mexico or Australia or Timbuktu. And they're all one. They all believe the same thing. They have different degrees of understanding, different degrees of knowledge, different degrees of grace. But I tell you this, they're all looking to Christ, resting in Christ, trusting in Christ. They're all born of the Spirit of God. They all love the Son of God. They're all depending on Him alone for their salvation. They're one, one family, one fold and one shepherd. And believers are not one because they believe in one God. That's not why they're one, though they do. Believers are not one because they read one book, though they do. But that didn't make them one. Believers are not one because they want to go to one place, though they do, but that doesn't make them one. Believers are one because God made them one. They're one because they're all in one body. And that body is Jesus Christ, and they all have one head. Now, you're looking at a body up here. This is one body. One body. It's got one head right here. It's got two arms, two hands. 10 fingers. Legs, feet, and toes. Heart, liver, lungs. It's all one body. And those, these are different parts. And though they serve different purposes, and though they have different functions, they're all in one body and they're one. This is my hand. This is my thumb. This is my heart. And that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is. This is my sheep. This one over here is my sheep. This one here that doesn't look anything like that one, but that's my sheep too. There's one body. Christ is the head and you're the body. That's the reason they're one. That's the reason they're one. They're one because they're one. He made them one. They were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. They were blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. They were baptized into one body by one Spirit. They're predestinated to be like Christ. They're called in Christ, accepted in Christ, redeemed in Christ, crucified in Christ, buried in Christ, risen in Christ, exalted in Christ, and seated in Christ. And in the fullness of time, God's going to gather them all together in one. In Christ. Is He divided? You wouldn't be foolish enough to say that, would you? Is Christ divided? Is the Godhead divided? No, they're one. He said that they may be one as we're one. The body of Christ is not divided. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. There may be 15 branches on the vine, but they're all one. When you go by a grapevine, you don't say, there's a grapevine and there are 15 branches. No, you say, that's a grapevine. And all those branches are in that vine. And you don't walk by a person, you say, there's a head and there's a body. No, there's a person with a head and a body. And that's Christ. And that's His body. They're all one. They're in Him. And in the book of Ephesians, I want you to listen to this now. And when I finish this message and leave you today, you order the tape if you want to. But if you don't, at least go back and study the Scripture. See if these things be so. Believers are one. Religious people are not. Church people are not. Organizations are not. And never will be because they're not agreed. They're not one in heart. They're not one in spirit. They're not one in purpose. They're not one in understanding. They're not one in foundation. They don't have one head. But Christ's people are one. And no matter where you find them, no matter how old they are, young they are in Christ, they're one. And it says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, there's one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. There's seven ones right there talking about His people. And then in 1 Timothy he adds this one, and there's one God and one mediator between God and man. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. Now, my friend, that's true oneness. And I want to look at those eight things together. I want you to really concentrate with me now, and let's look at these eight things that Paul deals with in Ephesians 4 and 1 Timothy 1. One in Christ. One in Christ. This is so clear and so beautiful. First of all, he says this, there's one body. There's one body, one family, one church. Now, I know there are a lot of churches. I'm pastor of the 13th Street Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky. I've been pastor there over 40 years. And they're dear people. I love them. They love me. And we have a unity. But it's not a perfect church. And I'm sure that in that church, in the large congregation that it is, and people that come and go, there's some tares. I'm sure of it. There's some who are not truly converted. There's some who, I don't know, but there's some probably who are hypocrites. There's some who maybe do not know Christ. I hope not, but I'm just confident when you get that many people together, you've got some that do not know Christ. But the churches all over the land, that's true of all of them. They have their spots, tares, and their hypocrites and so forth. But this church, this body, has no tares, no unbelievers, no hypocrites, no Judases. Oh, no. It says here, listen, and Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That's the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the church which He purchased with His own blood. That's the church whose names are written in heaven. That's the one church, the true church, God's church, the Lord's church. He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not a lost person in that church. Ephesians 5:23, he said, the husband's the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might present it, the one church, the one body, the one family, to Himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. It's the church of the firstborn. Oh, there's neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female, rich nor poor, old or young. It's one church in Christ, one body, the church. And they're all one. Can you doubt that? No, you can't doubt that. Not at all. There's one body. One body. All right, secondly, there's one Spirit. One Spirit. And this is the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. The Scripture says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Everybody in this church is converted, and everybody in this church has the Holy Spirit. If any man has not the Holy Spirit, he's none of his. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. You know what Scripture says? By that one Spirit. And no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Every true believer is baptized with the Holy Ghost. Every true believer. Every true believer is baptized into the body of Christ. Every true believer prays. He loves Christ. He loves God. He loves other people. I heard a preacher not long ago say 99% of the Christians in this land are not walking with God. Hold on here. 99% of the church members may not be walking with God, but Christians are. Christians are. They have one Spirit. They're baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit regenerated them. They're born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicted them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit revealed Christ to them, took the things of Christ and revealed them to them. The Holy Spirit is their comforter and their teacher, and the Holy Spirit has sealed them in the body of Christ, and they cannot be taken out. And the Holy Spirit is their earnest. He's not the spirit of confusion and the spirit of division. He's the spirit of truth. And there's one Spirit. Just one. And every believer has that Holy Spirit. And they love each other. And they're not in competition. They're all seeking the glory of God. They're not vying for the attention. They're not glorifying, exalting themselves. They're preaching Christ. That's right. And thirdly, there's one hope. Just one. One hope of your call. One body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling. See, salvation's a calling. We are the called of Christ Jesus. Whom He justified, He called. God is calling out a people for His name. Paul said He called you by our gospel. You see, you're calling, brethren. And the one hope of that calling, you see, God calls His people. Like He called Zacchaeus. Come down. Like He called Matthew. Like He called Saul of Tarsus. He'll call you if you want His people. Whom He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He predestinated, He called. And whom He called, He justified. It's a holy calling. It's a calling to be like Christ. Listen, what's the hope of your calling? 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we'll be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope purifieth himself. Every man that hath this hope. What hope? To be like Christ. One hope of your calling. That one hope is to be like Christ. That's the threefold desire of every believer. Commitment to Christ, communion with Christ, and one day conformity to Christ. Oh, we have our ups and downs and troubles and difficulties and trials, but Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. And the one hope of His calling to be like Him. It's not to meet Mama in heaven, though I love my Mama. That's right. It's not to see how many crowns or how many stars I got in my how many crowns. It's to be with Him. That's the hope of His calling. There are no degrees in that glory. All are like Christ, all are loved the same, all redeemed the same, all have the same station, perfection, and the same reward. Christ is our reward. And then He says there's one Lord. Fourthly, one Lord. Just one. Believers are brothers who love each other, who respect one another, who help one another, who learn from one another, but there's just one Lord. One Master. One King. That's Christ. Be not called Father, He said. You got one Father. Be not called Rabbi. You got one Master. You're brethren. He's Lord by God's decree. God made him Lord. I hear preachers say, make Jesus your Lord. Too late, feller. God beat you to it. He's already your Lord. He's Lord by creation. He's Lord by death. He died that he might be Lord. And he's Lord by faith and confession. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, thou shalt be saved. But salvation is not to stand up for Jesus. It's to bow down and worship Christ, the Lord. The gateway into the kingdom of God is not your accepting Christ as your personal Savior, but bowing to Jesus Christ as your Lord. Old preacher used to say, I know who your Savior is. Tell me who your Lord is. Who's Lord of your life? Who's Lord of your life? If he's not your Lord, he's not your Savior. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. Time somebody sounded the note. And here's the fifth thing. There's just one faith. Here people say, we're not of the same faith. What'd you say? There's just one faith. One faith. Believers are one because they have one faith. One faith in Christ Jesus. It may be small faith or great faith, but it's one faith. It may be weak faith or strong faith, but it's common faith. It may be early faith or late faith, but it's one faith. One. There's just one faith. Keep the faith. That's right. It's the only one. It's the faith. It has the same author. He's the author and finisher of our faith. It has the same object. He that believeth on the Son hath life. That's right. He's the one sole object of faith. Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It arises out of the same need, sinners. It has the same foundation, the Word of God. He hath said, so that I may boldly say. It has the same rest. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Just one faith. One faith. And then in the sixth place is one baptism. Now, many believe this is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Perhaps we're all baptized into one body by the same Spirit. There's one baptism into the body of Christ, submerged, emerged, immersed into the body of Christ. But there's one baptism under the gospel, and that's water baptism by immersion. Go ye into all the world and make disciples, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. John was baptizing at a certain place because there was much water there. Jesus came up straightway out of the water. The Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Baptism is a burial. And in order to truly picture and be identified with a death and a burial and a resurrection, you've got to put the body beneath the water and come up out of the water. And baptism's not for infants. Baptism is for believers. Christ said, make disciples and then baptize them. That comes first, believing. He that believeth and is baptized. When the eunuch wanted to be baptized, he asked Philip, said, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, one requirement. Do you believe with all your heart on the Son of God? He said, I do. Baptized. Baptism's for believers. It's a confession of Christ. It's identification with Christ. It's a declaration. Baptism's not only a confession of Christ and identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. It's a declaration to this world that I'm dead, buried with Christ, and risen with Christ to walk in newness of life. That's right. They're one. They're one. It's not a fad. It's death. Salvation is not a fad. Salvation is not, I hear people say, well, come and try Jesus. You don't try death. When you die, you're dead. Well, you come and try death. No, I'm crucified with Christ. You don't try crucifixion. If I say, well, try Jesus. You go to the cross and try to die, try death. No, you commit. And when you're crucified, it's over, brother. You're dead. And there's one God, one Father of all believers. There's one God. He's the Father of only believers. That's all. He's above all. He's sovereign. He's through all. That is, by his providence, he works through all things for our good and his glory. He's in all. He dwells in us. I and my Father will dwell in them. One mediator. Brother Mann, pray for me. I will. You pray for me. I have no more authority in prayer than you do. The authority is in Christ. There's one God. There's one mediator between God and men. And that fellow with the robe on, he has no more authority in prayer than you do if you're a believer. That's right. That preacher's been preaching for 50 years. He has no more authority in prayer than you do. He can't command heaven. That fellow on television talks about he can heal you. He's popping off. He doesn't have any healing power. Healing's in Christ. That's right. There's one mediator. There's one advocate. There's one intercessor, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one body. Believers are one. Not, if someone says they ought to be, they are. They're one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, and one mediator. And there'll be one forever. I want in on that by God's grace. Don't you? It's real.